Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Easter is a day of great victory, a day of great gladness and rejoicing. And it's wonderful to clap and express our appreciation to God for all that God has done and all the different ways that we celebrate that and in music and in our prayers. Christ has been raised from the dead, and in Christ we celebrate God's victory over death. But you may still be wondering, how can this be? I have a loved one in the hospital who is not expected to last. Or maybe you got a diagnosis earlier this year and you were told that the quality of your life is going to decline. How can we say that there is victory over death when death seems to assault us at every turn, every day? What is the meaning of the resurrection if people still continue to die? Didn't Christ die to give us life eternal? And shouldn't that start with no more death for anyone? Well, I'd like to take a step back and hear what Matthew tells us about the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee. These women have been faithful all along. They were even there when Jesus was crucified. They watched the crucifixion and all of the events from a distance. They witnessed to his painful death. When all of the other disciples had fled, the women were still there. And then when it was all over, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary followed Joseph of Arimathea. He was the one who took Jesus' body from the cross. They took it to his own tomb on that Good Friday. And the women were there. They saw where Joseph laid Jesus' body. They saw him roll away that great stone to the door of the tomb. And some of you may have images of what that stone and what that tomb looked like from our Thursday class. We left the women there after Jesus was buried. We left them there sitting opposite Jesus' tomb alone, except for a guard of Roman soldiers who had been sent to make the tomb secure. And those Roman soldiers are there because the chief priests had rather cynically remembered what Jesus said, "After 3 days, I will rise again." And these religious leaders, they want to make sure that the disciples don't try to steal Jesus' body and pretend that he has been raised from the dead. They want to make sure that nothing sneaky is happening. And so the guards have been there since Saturday. Saturday is the day of Sabbath rest. And after that Sabbath is over, the two Marys come back to the tomb. And, you know, in many of the stories of Easter morning, the women come to the tomb with spices. They are going to anoint Jesus' body for burial. But that doesn't happen here. We just are told that they come to see the tomb. That's a little bit different. And I wonder if it's possible that, like the chief priests, maybe these women also remember what Jesus said. "After 3 days, I will rise again." Maybe they trust in that without knowing exactly what it means. Perhaps they have come to the tomb to see what happens next. And what happens next is actually pretty dramatic, because the earth quakes. And not only does the earth quake, but an angel of the Lord descends and rolls away that stone. And the Roman soldiers who are guarding the tomb tremble with fear and faint. I mean, these brave soldiers fall over in a faint. But the women don't do that. They don't faint. They hear the angel say, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here, for he has been raised. Come, see this empty place where he lay." Now, just so you know, this is not the moment of resurrection. The angel doesn't roll away the stone in order to let Jesus out. Instead, the angel is rolling away the stone to let the women in, to give them an opportunity to see this empty tomb, to see how there is no one in there. Come see the place where he lay, the angel says. So the women go in. Presumably they look around, but they don't linger there very long. I mean, it's an empty tomb. There's nothing to see. And now they have this really urgent message from the angel, and they've got to share it with the disciples. And so they run from the tomb. They go quickly, and they are caught between fear at the awesome encounter with God's power, but also joy at this amazing news that he is not here, he has been raised. But they still have not seen it for themselves. They've just seen the empty tomb. Then on their way to the disciples, they are suddenly met by Jesus, who says the memorable words, "Greetings." You know, like, that's not a big, impressive thing to say. It's like saying, "Hi." Like, why would Jesus just say that? Well, I think it's because when he says something so down to earth, we know that he is not a ghostly being. He's not a vision. He's not a fantasy. He is just everyday Jesus back again. He's a human with our human practices of greeting one another. And he gives the women a job to do. He reinforces the message of the angel and sends them on a mission, because this good news that Jesus is risen is not just for the women. They've got to share it. And in the wake of the resurrection, the church that emerges from this is going to be all about spreading the good news. We don't hoard the good news for ourselves. We share it. So it's a pretty odd story, isn't it? There's a lot of hard parts about it, and the hard parts are not explained in the story. You may be wondering, how did Jesus rise from the dead? We're not told. I mean, and after, you know, it looks like for a while that the only evidence that the women are going to have to go on is this empty tomb. What are the evidence that we have? Is it enough to make us believe in the resurrection? Is it enough to make us share this good news with others? Well, what we have this morning is witnesses. We have a story with an angel and women and later the disciples, and all of them say, he's not in the tomb. We don't know where he is, but he's not in the tomb. But they come to believe that he has won victory over death. Now, would these witnesses hold up in a court of law? Would they convince you? And God doesn't do anything mystical here. The women don't suddenly see like a spooky ray of light coming down on Jesus, and they don't see him suddenly breathing and opening his eyes. We don't have a magical vision of that. Instead, God begins this good news with these eyewitnesses, people like you and me. And the evidence that these witnesses have is supported by the fact that lives are changed fundamentally as a result of their story. Easter, as it turns out, can't be explained. It's just got to be experienced. And we have come to believe, as a result of these witnesses, that the empty tomb means that Jesus has won a final victory over death. And for us, and for our physical death, that doesn't mean that we will have immortality, that we will have life as we know it now, extended forever. Life as we know it, with all of its ups and downs and good and evil. No, because Christ's resurrection means new life, forgiveness from our sins, freedom from all that binds us. This is the promise of an ultimate resurrection for us as well. It means a new life with victory over death. For now, we do still die, because Easter is not about me and my victory over death. It's about Jesus and God's victory over death in Christ. We are now living in this in-between time where Christ has already won the victory, but battles are still taking place, and the forces of death are still finding out that they have been vanquished. They have no hope of winning, but they are still strong. And we do continue to live in a world where there is still physical death until Christ comes again. But we know that death is temporary. We know that the resurrection is promised to us and to our loved ones as well. And that is where our hope is. We know the end of the story. We have heard these words of the witnesses, and so we too can tell the good news. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. I would invite you to join with me in our affirmation of faith in the bulletin, if you would stand in body or in spirit.